This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.
ESPN 1530 Cincinnati. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. ESPN 1530, an iHeartRadio station.
Welcome in Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel, sitting in today for Mo Egger. It's a holiday, so Mo's working down the dial tonight on LW. That means you get me from 3 to 6. Mo, like I said, on 700 WLW from 6 to 8 tonight. Crazy busy weekend of sports. Just none involving teams from Cincinnati. UC and Xavier both on pause right now due to COVID issues in each program. Xavier's Wednesday game, it was announced today, postponed against UConn. We are still waiting to hear what's going on with Cincinnati and their scheduled trip to Temple on Wednesday. I haven't heard anything positive on that front yet, so fingers crossed, but we'll see. I don't think it looks great. But until there's official word, there's optimism that the Bearcats can get back in action on Wednesday night. We have some news out of Clifton, potentially, as Pete Thamel reports that Luke Fickell is close to hiring Mike Tressel, who is coaching at Michigan State right now, was the defensive coordinator under Mark D'Antonio, is the nephew of Jim Tressel. If you're looking for coach who checks all the boxes on the Luke Fickell coaching tree, Mike Tressel pretty much fits all of them. Now, it's an interesting case study for UC fans because Mike Tressel did not leave on the best of terms when he was here in 2007 when Mark D'Antonio got the Michigan State job. He was reportedly very happy to be headed back to the Big Ten and out of Cincinnati 15 years later. There are reports that he will be returning to replace Marcus Freeman. I have not been able to confirm those reports just yet. I do not think anything is imminent. I think there still needs to be a couple steps in the process taken before it is Mike Tressel, but this seems like the likely progression when Chris Ash decided to move into the NFL and join Urban Meyer's staff in Jacksonville. I think if Ash had decided to be to remain in college, there was a pretty good chance that it was going to be as the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bearcats. When he decided to take a move to the NFL, that left Fickell going back to the drawing board somewhat. And that drawing board is going to include people you're close with, people you have known for a long time. Luke Fickell and Mike Tressel worked together at Ohio State in the early 2000s. So I know there's a lot of people that are a little upset about Mike Tressel coming back, but I guess here's the jumping off point, right? If he makes UC better, or if he continues what Marcus Freeman built and Cincinnati continues to be a team in that navigates the top 10 waters. And if they can go into Indiana and they can go into South Bend and knock off the Hoosiers and the Irish, that's what this is about, right? Winning football games. So that's an interesting it's an interesting direction, let's just say that, from a story standpoint. And we like interesting. It gives you things to talk about on Sports Talk Radio. It was something that popped up while I was chatting with Taryn, doing our pre-show meeting, getting some things ready for the show, and I was distracted, and he asked me a question, and I hadn't been paying attention to him for like 4 minutes at that point in time. So sorry about that, Taryn. We were going over some audio that I want for later in the show, and he said, is that what you were looking for? I was like, bro. I spaced out 4 minutes ago. My bad, man. My bad. So that's the UC football goings on. We're waiting on a decision potentially from Mike Denbrock, who interviewed last week with Vanderbilt for their offensive coordinator position. We have there's an open running backs position as Dan Enos left for Maryland to be the offensive coordinator at Maryland. So there are still some goings on around UC football that are at least making things a little interesting while basketball is back into the abyss. I thought I was done going weeks without sports to cover on my sports website or on my sports talk show when I commandeer Mo's show. Turns out that was incorrect. We got a little bit of clarity from Nick Kroll on the Reds and Luis Castillo. Rumors had been swirling that the Reds were in talks with the Yankees. Kroll basically says Castillo is with the Reds, and that's likely where he will be when the season begins. Later came out that they were asking for Gleyber Torres, who is the Yankees' young, very talented shortstop. We have known the entire offseason that the Reds are looking for a shortstop. I would prefer that you don't trade one of your two best starters to go in that direction. But on the other hand, Gleyber Torres is really good. And if you're going to get someone that young and that talented, you are also going to have to give up someone young and talented. But guess what? I don't think the Yankees are going back the Sonny Gray route. You? No? That didn't work. They tried that once. That didn't work. So what else do you have if you're Cincinnati to try and get Gleyber Torres? Nothing. Luis Castillo. The Yankees said no? Fine. See, here's the thing. I know a lot of us have been upset at the report that the Reds are basically... It doesn't sound like they're shopping everyone. What it sounds like is they're listening if teams are going to call, and they're going to ask for a lot. You want our better guys? You're going to have to give us a lot to get them. I'm okay with that. We'll get into that because it's interesting watching the ebb and flow of this when it feels like they aren't doing anything. But the more you listen, the more it sounds like that is kind of a strategy. They're not, outside of a couple minor decisions, a guy like Archie Bradley being, you know, something along those lines, they are not panicking at this point. And they are potentially looking to ride into 21. I still think they do whatever they can to find a shortstop. But they're looking to ride into 2021 with a lot of what they had last year. Yes, minus Trevor Bauer Hurts. Yes, minus Raisel Iglesias Hurts. But it's a pretty similar team to what they had a year ago, and that team made the playoffs. And it sounds like they want to see what that group can do over 162 games. Don't hate it. Golden age of quarterbacks coming to an end. We saw Brady and Breeze yesterday. That's got to be the end for Drew Brees, doesn't it? I have loved. Is there anybody that has gotten more out of their ability in the NFL, in NFL history, than Drew Brees? For as long as he did it, I mean, think about this. I heard this on ESPN this morning. 85 years old, combined age of Tom Brady and Drew Brees. 85 between the two quarterbacks playing in the divisional round. Think about how difficult it has been to unseat this era of quarterbacks. Because you include Peyton, even though, you know, Peyton had injuries that forced him to retire at a normal age, as opposed to Brees, Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. I think we forget Aaron Rodgers is in this era of quarterbacks. The only thing that slowed down Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of his career was all those years sitting behind Brett Favre. If Rodgers comes into the league and starts right away, or gets another 2-3 years where he was on the bench, if he spends those on the playing field, he's right up there with everybody else, isn't he? And now, NFC Championship, you get Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. The goat and the boat, right? Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback, greatest NFL player of all time. He is playing in his 14th conference championship game. 14! That's fourth on the all-time list since 1970. And I'm not talking players. I'm talking teams. Steelers, 49ers, New England Patriots, Tom Brady. Since 1970, he's fourth. And Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time, right? The arm, the accuracy, the athleticism. Who's been a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers? I don't think you can say Tom Brady has. Especially when you go back through that first portion of Tom's career when he was kind of game manager Tom, right? He wasn't asked to do a ton. That's going to be fun. I got jumped on 2 weeks ago on Twitter because I said the first week, the super wild card round, didn't do a lot for me. The matchups. This weekend was outstanding. Next weekend, Mahomes versus Allen, Brady versus Rodgers. Boatload of fun. We'll get into that. We'll get into Kentucky and Coach Cal with some interesting comments over the weekend. We'll get into what's going on at Tennessee as they fire their head coach and try to set the program on fire on his way out. The sobering reality for the Bengals in watching the two AFC North teams exit the playoffs this weekend. What that means for the future of the Bengals and how long it's going to take for them to get back into the limelight. Got a lot to get to. And it's going to be an interesting day. Justin Williams will join me here at 3:30 to talk about the rumors or the report that Mike Tressel is coming to Cincinnati as a defensive coordinator. Phone lines are open. We'll hear from you. A lot to get to more after this. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Welcome back to Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel, owner of BearcatJournal.com. You can find me on Twitter at Chad Brendel. Filling in for Mo today. Mo will be on from 6 to 8, down the dial on 700, actually 6 to 9, I think, down the dial on 700 WLW. No John Brannon show tonight, as UC continues to deal with COVID-19 protocols inside the Bearcats basketball program. Golden era of quarterbacks is eventually going to, it has to come to an end at some point. Tom Brady's 43. Aaron Rodgers is 37. So they're combined 80 when you get into next week or this coming weekend's matchup in the NFC Championship game. And it's crazy to think how long that group of four guys, if you include Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, have dominated the sport and been the names at the top of this sport for so long without really any long-term challengers to their greatness. Mike wants to talk Brady and Rodgers. Mike, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Chad, appreciate you, man. Thanks for filling in for Mo. Hey, and listen, I enjoyed the journal rag. It's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you should be proud of that, my friend.
Thank you. We have I've assembled a very good team, and we really enjoy what we do. So hopefully that comes out in the work.
How long have you been doing
this baseball season? Catch every game at Longneck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky: Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings. And there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Longneck's. Longneck's Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Longneck's patio. Longneck's Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I started in December of 2006, covering UC.
Longevity going here.
I am the senior guy on the beat now, and my hair looks the part.
Hey, I'm 67. I can dig it. I can relate.
All righty. What you got for me?
Your conversation was interesting with these older quarterbacks, because I find them all to be, it's not quintessential pushing it, Brady, Brees, and Aaron. And I want to get to that Aaron thing in just a minute, but just real quick, since of my age, I grew up watching these studs like John Hadle and John Brody and the old AFL. Those guys are forgotten, of course, but it's a shame because they were really good quarterbacks. And the guy that I was impressed with, but he had such a short career, but played in a classic game against the Raiders. I think it was in the late 70s. His name was Burke Jones from LSU. And he was the Colts quarterback. And Snake Stabler was the quarterback, another stud for the Raiders. And have you ever heard much about Burke Jones? Are you aware of him?
I know the name. I mean, it's a little bit before my time. I was born in 77.
Yeah.
So a little bit before my time, but I know of who you speak, yes.
Yeah, really. If you ever get a chance to see that, the double overtime AFC championship, American football, to go to the Super Bowl, I believe.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, between Stabler and Kenny Snake Stabler, what a character! But the Aaron, like you were saying, Rodgers and Brady. When Rodgers came in, right? Didn't he ride shotgun with Favre for 2-3 years?
Yeah, I think it actually was 3 or 4 years before he fully got his chance, because Favre wasn't ready to let go. And it was, if you remember, it was a situation where Green Bay really wasn't in need of a quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers fell to him. And they were like, well, we don't really need this guy, but, Brett's going to retire at some point in time. I think this is the interesting thing for me, is that this group of guys bridged the gap from the previous group of guys, right? Marino and Elway and Steve Young. But nobody, it skipped a generation. There was nobody that bridged the gap from Manning and Brady and Rodgers and Brees until 20 years later when you get maybe a guy like Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. The thing with Rodgers, or with Brady, first of all, he wasn't even a starter at Michigan.
He started some.
Yeah, some. But I guess later in his,
Drew Henson and Brady were kind of platooning.
Yeah. But when he got to New England, Bledsoe got hurt. He got thrown in his rookie year, am I right?
Yes.
So I think those two guys are so good. I'm with you. I tend to appreciate Aaron's athleticism and some of the really difficult, crazy throws he makes look easy, as kind of as a precursor to some of these other guys like Mahomes. But then Brady's precision is. What I'm trying to say is, do you give Brady a little more credit because he was thrown into the fire where Aaron got groomed a little bit?
I mean, I know that is definitely that was the way things were done, ideally, for a long time. And maybe now it's a little different because these kids are learning such intricate offenses in college, so they're probably more ready coming in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure it helped Aaron to sit behind Brett Favre and learn. But I'm sure it helped Brady to just get out there and do and trial by fire. I think there's something to be said, you know, for guys that learn on the field, as long as they don't get the crap beat out of them. Because we've seen plenty of guys that have a lot of promise. They get drafted high. They go to a team that's not ready really to win. They get beat up and they never reach their potential. I'm not, speaking directly of a team that's located on the Ohio River, 20 minutes from this station, but I'm not directly speaking of them either.
Yeah. Hey, I know you got to go. I got one last UC question, and then I'll hang up. Well, actually, two. I haven't seen this kid that the Packers drafted that shocked the world. He must be a pretty damn good quarterback, or potentially a pretty good quarterback. That's my one question. And the other one is, I feel so sorry for Ben Bryant. And should I feel sorry for him? I really do. And I'll listen on the radio. You take care of yourself, brother.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Mike. The quarterback the Packers took this year in the draft, whose name is escaping me, Jordan Love, yeah. I mean, I think it was another situation like Rodgers, right? He fell in your lap. And if you got a chance to take a quarterback that you think is good that late in the first round, you jump, and you hope he can learn behind Rodgers, and he's ready if you need him, and you go from there. Ben Bryant, I mean, yeah, it was tough for Ben Bryant, but what can you do? You know, he had every opportunity to win the job and couldn't get it done. Couldn't beat out Des Ritter. It's unfortunate because Ben's a great kid. It's unfortunate that it didn't happen for him, but he's going to get a chance to follow in his dad's footsteps 2 years up at Eastern Michigan to see what he can do, and I will be pulling for him because Ben was always very pleasant and very easy to deal with for me in his time in Clifton. We'll be back. Justin Williams from The Athletic to talk about the report on Mike Tressel being the new defensive coordinator at Cincinnati. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Welcome back. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Chad Brendel in for Mo Egger. Mo will be back tomorrow, I believe. I'm not back tomorrow, so that would lead me to believe that Mo is. Interesting news hitting, or a report hitting right before we took the air today, as Pete Thamel from Yahoo reported that Mike Tressel is in line to be the next defensive coordinator at the University of Cincinnati, replacing Marcus Freeman, who's off to Notre Dame. And it's been an interesting hour or so since then. I wasn't going to have Justin on today. I was just going to roll through the show today. But with that popping up, I thought I'd have my good friend Justin Williams from The Athletic jump on to discuss the report of the day, Justin. I think we're in the same boat. Nothing confirmed yet. I don't think anything is done yet. I think your info is similar to mine. But if Pete Thamel is reporting on something that involves Luke Fickell, odds are pretty good it's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I feel comfortable that the two sides, Cincinnati and Mike Trussell, have had conversations about this job. Nothing official beyond that. But you're right. Pete Thamel usually doesn't miss in general, and certainly not when it comes to the Bearcats. So it's certainly, you know, you mentioned not planning to have me on the radio gods. I guess just had to find a way to make it happen, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like I joked last week, you're on the radio so much, the only thing you haven't figured out how to do is get paid. I'm going to have to work with you on that this offseason. That's good. We're going to have to train for the whole getting paid part.
It comes out of the host cut, right? Isn't that how it works?
I mean, I you know, the producer. I think it comes out of the producer's check.
Gotcha. All right. I'll talk to Tan.
He's already not making enough as it is. He's underpaid as it is, so... we'll give you some of his money.
I'm sure this is what people want to hear us talk about.
You were not around 15 years ago. There are a lot of stories that have gone around about Mike Trussell and his exit from the University of Cincinnati the first time around. Is that something you think Luke Fickell cares about? Or is it even something you think Luke Fickell maybe even knows about?
Well, let's just first get straight. I was around. I was just in high school 15 years ago. So it's,
right.
Know,
I mean, well, I was on the beat in 2007. You were not.
I was not. No, I mean, you know these stories better than I do. It seems like, from what I've heard, it was a coach and a staff who were excited about, you know, getting a move to the Big Ten and Michigan State. No, I can't imagine Luke Fickell cares about. I would love to see the Luke on Luke Fickell's face if we ask him, like, do you care about something that happened at, you know, a place you weren't coaching at 15 years ago? But my guess is, you know, it's the obvious stuff, right? There's no shortage of common threads, probably the least of which being that Mike Trussell coached here for a couple years under Mark D'Antonio. The bigger thing being he worked as a grad assistant at Ohio State while Luke Fickell was there when he was special teams coordinator back in the early 2000s. And, you know, he's the nephew of Jim Trussell, who we all know had a huge impact on Luke Fickell and his life and career. And, you know, honestly, same with D'Antonio, even though, you know, there's maybe no Cincinnati connection between Luke and Mike Trussell. The Mark D'Antonio connection certainly has to have a big impact. So I'm guessing maybe Luke knew about those things, maybe he doesn't, but I think in the end it comes down to him being comfortable with whoever he wanted to put in this spot, and it certainly seems like he feels that way with Mike Trussell.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this thing was initially the focus was pretty clearly on Chris Ash, who was going back and forth with Texas on whether he would return. He was the defensive coordinator at Texas last year. It looked like all signs were pointing to him not being the defensive coordinator at Texas. The question was, where would he end up? Cincinnati was definitely on the list of possibilities. Once Chris Ash decided to join Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, it seemed like things kind of turned. And when things turn, from what we have seen in going on 5 years of Luke Fickell, he is going to go for connections, and he's going to go for people that he has a very – I don't want to say – like, I think someone he's comfortable with is the wrong word. I think it's more – he's going to go with somebody that he knows has similar principles and a way about him that they do things. He clearly feels like if Mike Trussell's the guy, he clearly feels like Mike Trussell fits.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked, he's had to hire some position coaches, assistant coaches since he's been here. And I think he's been comfortable, you know, maybe if it's not someone he knows super well in those positions. But this is a different story, especially a defensive coordinator. This is, you know, his side of the ball. This is what he's really into. He worked really closely with Marcus Freeman. So, you know, for this position specifically, I think you're right that he was going to go with someone that he just kind of understood him in terms of schematically running the football program, what he wanted. And yeah, you know, you mentioned it seemed like Chris Ash was kind of maybe the leader in the clubhouse, but you and I both you know, put, you know, defensive coordinator hot boards out there when Marcus Freeman went to Notre Dame. We both had Mike Tressel on our list. That was not a mistake. You know, this was a possibility, from the very beginning.
His name did not make his way onto those boards by accident.
Right.
So, you know, here's the other thing for me. And I think I've been misunderstood a little bit when I talk about 2021, because I talk about it as an all-in type of season, not as in things are going to completely fall off a cliff in 2022, but that things are going to look very different in 2022 than how they are going to look in 2021. And with Desmond Ridder back, with Myjai Sanders back, with Kobe Bryant and Darian Beavers and Joel DeBlanco and Marcus Brown and Curtis Brooks. And it's a long list of guys that have decided to cast their lot with the Bearcats once again in 2021. I think this is a situation where you go hire the guy that you think is going to be able to pretty seamlessly slide in and take over as defensive coordinator. I get the sense Luke Fickell probably feels the same way. And if that's the case, the guy hasn't made a whole lot of bad decisions since he's been the head coach at Cincinnati since 2016. I think he gets the benefit of the doubt here, even if people are in their feelings a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, that's obviously a certain segment, not to discount it at all. But, you know, like you said, that was 15 years ago. A lot's probably gone on in both of their lives and in the course of Cincinnati football since then. But, yeah, you're right. You know, I think if you look at it from a window perspective, like, as long as Luke Fickell's the coach and the way that this program has recruited of late, they're probably, you know, moving forward should always be in that window to compete for a conference championship. But if you're talking, like, top 10, knocking on the door of the CFP, going to, you know, a New Year's Six Bowl, like, that's a little bit tighter window, and everyone kind of felt like that was a shot coming into 2020, which is why there was so much, you know, consternation about, is Desmond Ridder going to play better early in the season? And he did, and they ended up having a great season and making the Peach Bowl and making a bunch of CFP noise. Well, yeah, you're right. With what they have coming back, especially with that added year of eligibility, 2021 feels like it's kind of the same deal, and now they have...
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Longneck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. Longneck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Of all the hype from last season, they have matchups against Notre Dame and Indiana, like, they are going to kind of be in the forefront of the college football conversation this year and potentially just as the season goes along. And I think you're right that, you know, Fickell recognizes that, the team recognizes that, and he recognized that he needed someone in position as defensive coordinator who could, you know, make sure that they don't really miss a beat if possible.
Mike Denbrock interviewed with Vanderbilt last week. What is the latest status of that? We heard today, I think it was Ian Rappaport, reported that the Commodores had targeted an offensive coach from the Seahawks. He had turned the job down. That would seem to make you think that maybe Denbrock is next up on the list. Where do you think things are, and if Cincinnati will be holding a one-minute search for an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, definitely a little different on that side. It's certainly possible, you know, and as of last week, Mike Denbrock was in the offices at work as offensive coordinator for the Bearcats, making recruiting calls, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if that changes, then we'll see. But that was the case last we heard. And you're right, if he would move on, it certainly seems like Gino Guidulli is it won't necessarily be the wide search that they had for a defensive coordinator. Seems like they've been grooming him for that, and that would be the fit. But just in general, like, this is the price of success, right?
Right.
You know, the Bearcats, they have not lost Luke Fickell. And that, you know, I don't think fans should lose sight of that. Like, that was what everyone was worried about the past two off seasons. You know, you and I have written and talked about this. Now it's to the point, like, he's not even on these list of candidate names for jobs because everyone's just like, well, Luke's going to stay. And that's a huge deal. But, you know, if that's the case, then what happens is you lose your assistants and you lose your coordinators because you had a, you know, one of the top eight teams in the country this year and everyone wants those coaches.
Yeah. When you have success, everyone wants a piece of that success to then become part of their success. And if they can't get Luke Fickell, they're coming for the guys that are working right next to him. And honestly, Justin, for them to have retained Freeman and Denbrock for 4 years says a lot about Luke Fickell and the loyalty his guys have to him, because both of them have been targeted before by plenty of other jobs, especially Freeman, and both of them have decided to stick around. So keeping those guys for 4 years as it was pretty miraculous.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about Fickell. It says a lot about those guys. It says a lot about the program that they're building. But you're right, like, as you know, as great as it would be if it was just Fickell and Freeman and Denbrock and Gino and all these guys just, you know, staying at Cincinnati and coaching forever, like, that's not the way it works. You know, you have to have some trade-off. And I think a good trade-off is, hey, Luke Fickell's staying, like, he's the guy in charge, and he wants to, you know, put some roots down to hang around here. So that means you're going to have to, you know, lose some coordinators, some assistants. Maybe someday they come back to you, but it's kind of impossible for, especially a school in Cincinnati's position, to not expect to lose some coaches when you've won 30-plus games the last 3 years.
Alabama has to replace an entire coaching staff, like, every other year, and Saban still seems to be doing okay. It can't be done.
You know, the guy who stays seems to be the important one, and I think you could certainly make that case, the most important one at least. I think you can make that case for Cincinnati too.
Are we ever – when is your estimated next date we will watch Cincinnati basketball, and is it prior to Halloween 2021?
I guess I feel pretty comfortable saying yes to that. I certainly hope so. I don't know how many more coaching changes we might get to write about, so we're going to need some basketball content. But yeah, you know, it's weird. You and I always talk about, like, never a dull moment. And
this weekend was dull, kind of.
Yeah, we had a little bit of break with the basketball being off. Now that we quickly rectified that on a holiday Monday with the defensive coordinator stuff. But I have a feeling, you know, if hopefully things can get going again for UC basketball. But it was a little weird to, like, you know, have a weekend to just kind of sit around. I'm not saying they didn't like it, but it was strange.
My wife was kind of like, are you going to do anything? And I'm like, no. I don't think we have anything to do. You know, do you need anything? She's like, no, I'm just not used to it. It's a weekend. Like, go do something. Get out of my hair.
Yeah, you know, there were moments where it was like, this is great. And then there were moments where my kids were screaming and I was like, man, I'd give anything to be like eating a cold wrap sandwich at a basketball game right now. But, you know, that's we all have our burdens to carry.
Can't win them all, Jay. Can't win them all. All right, man. Thank you. That's Justin Williams. You can find him on Twitter at Williams_Justin. You can find his coverage at The Athletic. He is the Ohio Sports Writer of the Year. I haven't gotten to congratulate that you on that, like, on the air yet. So, congratulations.
It was a sweet sound. I appreciate you saying that. It was very nice, and very nice of you to say so. Thank you, buddy.
I didn't want to work it into the intro because I didn't want you going into the interview a little too puffed up. I needed to.
Well, yeah. I had, when Taryn called and spoke with my, you know, multiple assistants, I thought I'd made clear that I was supposed to be referred to that way, you know, when I was announced, but, you know, must have got lost.
Yeah, well, you got it on the way out, so consider yourself lucky. Now get out of here.
I'll have to fire some people, I guess.
All right, that's Justin Williams. Thanks, brother. We'll talk next time I'm on the radio, I'm sure. Justin Williams from The Athletic. He, as we've talked about, he makes me sick how good he is at writing. It's disgusting. Sometimes I just want to, like, give him a punch buggy right in the shoulder. Oh well. It's a big award. Congratulations to him. He was the sports writer of the year in Ohio. Dan Hoard, the sports broadcaster of the year in Ohio. And I have the pleasure of calling both of those fine gentlemen friends. I don't know if they call me friends, but I call them friends. And, you know, neither here nor there. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Welcome back, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. That's one of those beats, yeah, I could just listen to the beat. If this is mad, I get more butt than ashtrays. The fair one, I get mine the fast way. Ski mask way. Chad Brendel in for Mo Egger. When's the last time somebody was on this computer in here? I hit the mouse so the screen popped up. And the lead story on the front page of ESPN.com is Brandon Rashaw scores 25 to lead Tulsa past Cincinnati 70-66. 16 days ago. Everybody just wings it. Like I bring my laptop because I don't want to put my stuff in here because Mo has his Twitter in here. I could get on to Mo's Twitter right now and have some fun. I don't ever do that. But I think, you know, Mo might mess with me if I have my Twitter in here. Tony definitely would. So I bring my own. But 16 days ago. Speaking of statute of limitations, how long are you allowed to be mad at somebody that's involved with your favorite team? Is 15 years? Can you forgive somebody for something they said when they were 32 if they're now 47 and returning to your program? Taryn says no. You're mad at that person forever?
Mine is Brett Favre.
What did he say? When he left and went to the Vikings?
Well, yeah, he didn't say nothing. It was what his actions he did.
Okay. I mean, so the gist of the matter here, Mike Tressel worked for Mark D'Antonio when Mark D'Antonio was hired by Michigan State in 2006. D'Antonio basically told his staff, like, you're either – coming with me now, or you're not coming with me. And Tressel was apparently very excited to be getting back into the Big Ten and going to Michigan State and leaving Cincinnati. Had some not so nice things to say about Cincinnati and whatnot on his way out the door. UC fans now faced with the potential of possibly Mike Tressel being back in town, running Luke Fickell's defense. Luke Fickell's pretty spotless, right? Everybody loves everything that Luke Fickell has done since he's gotten to Cincinnati for the most part. Can they forgive Mike Tressel for things he said 15 years ago?
Winning cures all.
Exactly, right? If they come out and, well, here's where you get yourself in trouble a little bit. If they come out and they continue to have a top 10 defense in the country, nobody's going to care. If they come out and they slide to 25th, people are going to be mad. People are going to be big mad.
They come out and let Indiana throw the ball all over right. Next year.
Yeah. Penix comes out and he's hitting Freifogel deep over the top of Ahmad Gardner, who hasn't technically given up a touchdown in his career at Cincinnati. And all of a sudden, for the new defensive coordinator, he's getting beat. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But if they win at Notre Dame and they win at Indiana, guess what? Ain't anybody going to be too concerned with how he left the first time 15 years ago. That's the funny part about sports, right? You play to win the game.
Unless your quarterback just retires after he screws your team.
But you're not bitter.
Not at all.
Not even a little? Maybe a little. Maybe just a little. Maybe just a little. Oh, hour two coming up. We'll get into some Reds a little bit more in hour two. And we'll get into Coach Cal in Kentucky and the thought that maybe 10 years is the most you can really go at a place like Kentucky. Coach Cal's on year 11. And he had some weird things to say the other night. We'll get into it after this. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
ESPN 1530. The Cincinnati Bengals play here.
Welcome back. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel, owner of BearcatJournal.com, filling in for Mo Egger today. Mo will be on Down the Dial on 700 WLW from 6 to 9 tonight, filling in for Lance. Interesting weekend in sports. In that, for the first time in a long time, I didn't have a whole lot to do. Like, we hit that with so much downtime the spring and summer, right? And then once baseball finally got back, I was doing a lot of this, and then training camp kicked off for UC. So, the full slate of coverage kicked off, and then you get through football season and the stops and starts there, and then basketball season has been quite mercurial here over the past couple weeks, and got to a point where things almost felt like it got back to normal. There was constantly stuff happening. You were always working, always chasing a story, following a lead, doing something, covering a game. And then with UC off this weekend, and generally, if Xavier plays, I'll watch, because I have resumed going on with Richard Skinner and Rick Broering and myself for the college basketball edition of the Skinny Podcast. So we're back to doing that every Sunday night. Plus, having this scheduled. And there was nothing this weekend. Other than, there was some good, some solid college basketball games on. A lot of the ones I was really looking forward to were shelved. But for the most part, it was a good opportunity to kind of sit back and relax for a weekend and watch a lot of NFL and realize that we're getting next weekend kind of a then versus now pair of games, right? You're getting the AFC game. You've got Mahomes, who's the heir apparent, right? He's the next great one. But you've got Josh Allen, and what Josh Allen has developed into is pretty exciting in and of itself.
I don't want to get too excited yet.
I don't either, because it's such a small window so far. But the progress he's made over the past 2 years has been remarkable. I'm not ready to anoint him as the next guy. Mahomes is the next guy, right? We're looking for the guy that slots in behind Mahomes.
I think he's already there. I think we already got him. He just needs a better team. Deshaun Watson.
I think we need to see that. We say he needs a better team. We need to see him on a better team. And then we can move him into that conversation. I'm not against it, and he very well could be. But we don't know yet, because he's on a crappy team. He looked all right when he had D-Hop, though.
This baseball season, catch every game at Longneck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky: Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings, and there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Longneck's. Longneck Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Longneck's patio. Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So you get that in the AFC. You get that young gun matchup. Hopefully Mahomes is okay. Why the hell are you having him run an option play? Andy Reid. Look, Andy Reid is maybe the best offensive mind of this generation. Take that out of the playbook. No more sprint options for Pat Mahomes. None.
That's the second time he did it.
Remember,
2 years ago when he had the kneecap injury, he did a quarterback sneak with him.
Yeah. Well, see, quarterback sneaks I don't necessarily hate as a portion of your offense, but you run a sprint option in the NFL, your quarterback's going to get killed. They're too fast. Sideline to sideline, dudes are too fast. You can't do it. So you've got a fascinating storyline in the AFC. And then in the NFC, you have Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Wow.
Finally.
All these years. Finally get Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And Brady's not really Brady anymore. But as we saw yesterday, he still, when he needs to get it done, can get it done. Aaron Rodgers right now might be throwing the ball better than he's ever thrown it in his career. That 40-yard pass yesterday where he just flicked a frozen rope 40 yards down the field. Didn't even blink. Just 3-4-5-step drop and zing. And that might set some records. I think everybody's going to want to tune in to see that. Yeah, they might not be, 2014 Brady and Rodgers. But both of them still are playing at such a really high level. And both of them go into this game looking, for Rodgers, you got to get number two, right? You've got to get number two on your resume. And now you're in the NFC Championship. And you've got a chance to get back to the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady's in the way. You're freaking out back there.
Shouldn't Brady Rodgers be prime time?
What?
Shouldn't Brady Rodgers be prime time?
It's not prime time? That's the early game?
That's the first game, yeah.
What? I thought something serious happened. You were like flipping out.
It is serious. Brady and Rodgers should be the late game.
That's fair.
But they are old, so they might need to go to
bed. Right, they got to be in bed by then. They got to be in bed. What'd you think of Brady and Breeze hanging out on the field and Brady tossing a couple touchdowns to Breeze's kids? Like that was a really cool post-game scene from two legends.
Kind of put the right on the wall that Breeze is going to retire.
It's not there anymore. Look, Jameis threw the best ball in that game for the Saints. Here's the other thing. How do you not know Jameis is going to throw that football? You line Jameis up out wide and nobody caught it? Nobody was like, hey, probably should be like something's happening here. And they run an end around, flip it to Jameis. He turns around and there's a guy just cruising wide open 30 yards down the field.
They didn't win, but for him to do that against Tampa in the playoffs.
At that moment, that tasted so good, yeah.
He was tasting the dub. He was eating the dub. Even though they got the L, it was his dub, personal dub. But it's a fascinating contrast when you talk about the NFL playoffs and what the two games bring. And three guys, do you think Brady still fits in that realm of a guy that just flicks it 40, 50, 60 yards downfield anymore? He doesn't look like he has that as much on the ball as he used to in the old days. Between Rodgers, Allen, and Mahomes, that might be the three best throwers of the football in the game, especially the deep ball, because all three of those dudes can just launch moonshots. 50, 60 yards downfield in the air with accuracy. It's impressive watching those three guys throw the football.
I'll throw Russell Wilson in there, but yeah, though.
Yeah, yeah. To me, Russ is more ridiculous accuracy within like 15, 20 yards. But he will uncork one of those deep balls to Metcalf every now and again where, you know. But it's not as much of an integral part of his game as it is. Like Rodgers, you're going to see him 4, 5, 6 times a game just unleash one. What about the one Chad Henne tried? Like Chad Henne goes YOLO and and just launches one to somebody, an arm punt for an interception. There were good games. Like they were entertaining games this weekend. I got yelled at. It was probably like the UC fan base has a lot of Northern Ohio folks in it. So there's a lot of Browns fans. So right before the super wild card round, I just basically said, look, I none of these games really jump out at me as overly compelling, where it's like I'm going to sit down in front of my TV and make sure I watch all of this. And they, like, everybody got furious that I could suggest such a thing as un-American as looking at a slate of football games and going, yeah, I'll probably watch basketball this weekend. This weekend, different story. The football games were compelling and interesting storylines. They were fun to watch. And next weekend, or this coming weekend, we get to see Act One of the Changing of the Guard, right? Because the Super Bowl is going to be the final act, because you're going to get either Brady or Rodgers, and they're going to face either Mahomes or Allen, and you're going to get the golden era against the next generation in the Super Bowl, and that is going to be a lot of fun. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Welcome back, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Chad Brendel in for Mo Egger. Taryn, do you know what happened today that is the first time it has happened since 1977?
No.
The AP men's basketball poll was released. It did not include Duke, Kentucky, or North Carolina. First time that has happened since 1977.
So ESPN says 1961.
61? I saw 77 earlier today. It's been a long time.
Maybe ESPN got it wrong there. They say December 18th, 1961.
The tweet I saw this morning that I jotted down said 1977. Either way, been a long time since them days.
As I just tweeted, they'll all still somehow make the NCAA tournament.
Well, Yeah, I mean, I guess Carolina could probably get. I don't know that Duke. They'd have a lot of work to do to get an auto bid right now. Kentucky has to win the SEC tournament. They don't stand a chance outside of that.
If they even have one,
right? That's the only way Kentucky. Unless Cal buys a ticket, that's the only way Kentucky's getting in right now. Wild. We'll get to Kentucky here in the next segment. Bob from Florence wants to talk Mike Denbrock. Bob, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, Denbrock interviewing at Vandy, is that for an offensive coordinator or the head coach?
Offensive coordinator. Their new head coach is Clark Lee, who was the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. Denbrock and Lee, their paths didn't cross at Notre Dame. Remember, Denbrock came to UC from a four-year stint with Brian Kelly. But they do have a lot of the same, obviously, same connections. They know a lot of the same people. So when Lee got to Vanderbilt, Denbrock was one of the names that he was interested in talking to for the offensive coordinator job down there.
Well, after watching the second half of the Georgia game, I wish him good luck. I hope he gets it.
The second half of the Georgia game was much more the fault of number 55 than it was anyone else, unfortunately. That is not to throw anybody under the bus, but let's face it, James Hudson getting ejected from that game changed the entire dynamic of that game.
Yeah, but I don't think Hudson had much to do with snapping the ball with 12 and 9 seconds left on consecutive plays.
No, but he had everything to do with Dez running for his life in the entire second half. He was sacked 8 times.
Hey, what I did want to talk to you about, Jameis Winston play yesterday?
Yeah.
I think what you're forgetting is Bruce Arians watched Jameis Winston all last year, and I think he thought there was a better than 50-50 chance he would throw the ball to his ex-teammates.
Well, it's hard to throw it to your ex-teammates when none of them were within 25 yards of the guy he was throwing to.
You seen Jameis play much?
true. Very true. He would, even for him, that would have been really off target. My point is, though, like, he's on the field at wide receiver. You have to know something's coming, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about that. I can't believe somebody on the Bucs didn't call timeout or something.
Yeah. They sent 4 guys in the other direction.
Yeah, it really didn't make much sense at all. Ted, as far as the Bearcats on the basketball side, I think obviously they got hurt a little bit about Ivanosevic or whatever his name was leaving. And the only thing that concerned me about that was that's 2 years in a row you took a grad student from another school that didn't wind up playing half the year. And did we have any chance of getting the kid that went to Xavier from Cooper High School?
Yeah, I mean, he would have ended up at Cincinnati if Cincinnati had a spot. I don't think that was anything that had to do with Ivanauskas, because you were looking for somebody to come in and play one of the forward positions, and Kunkel's a guard. The two guys that have left, those two guys are exactly why it's very tricky taking grad transfers. Okay, so if you go back and remember when Jay Sirola committed to Cincinnati, who was a grad transfer from Valpo, it was believed by everybody in the program that Chris Vogt was going to have to sit a year.
Yeah.
So at the time, you know, Mamadou Diarra didn't physically probably, you know, at that point in time going back to April, you didn't know if you were going to be able to get minutes from him at center. So you didn't have a center. So when you recruit a guy like Jay Sirola, who did have other options, you tell him, look, you're going to come in here and play a lot because we don't have anybody else to play center.
Yep.
And then it was the night, I remember when John Brannon told us, it was the night of Midnight Madness, the UCF game, Nip at Night, last 2019. And Brannon told the media that Vogt had gotten a waiver. So then Sirola becomes the backup. Vogt becomes a starter. Vogt played really well early in the season last year. And now Cirola is not getting the playing time he thought he was going to get. Diarra is starting to cut into his playing time a little bit. And I don't know, are you a Bearcat Journal member, Bob?
Bearcat what? I'm sorry.
Bearcat Journal, the site I own?
No,
okay.
I'm not.
This story was on Bearcat Journal. I just didn't. Jay Cirola actually, without telling anyone, packed his car, listed his car on Craigslist in Chicago, drove to Chicago, sold his car on Craigslist, bought a ticket back to Spain.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And just flew back to Spain without letting anybody know.
Wow.
That's a fantastic story. But the same problem with Rapolis Ivanauskas you ran into this year. Ivanauskas knows at, you know, what, 6'7", 6'8", he's going to be, professionally, he's going to play the four. So he wants to come to Cincinnati and show that at this level he can play the four. Well, Bob, if you watch the games, it was clear pretty fast that Rapolis Ivanauskas was not capable of playing the four at this level. So they moved him to playing the five as kind of a split role with Chris Vogt. He didn't want to play the five, because he thinks in order to make it professionally, he needs to show he can play the four. And that's where you get, because there's no long-term answer for a grad transfer. The long-term answer is, as soon as the season ends, I'm out of here, so why not just get out of here now? And I think that's the danger in relying on grad transfers, is that if what you envisioned initially does not line up as the games play out, as things happen on the floor, then they're gonna bounce on you and you're gonna be in bad shape. More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
When I step up in the place, say yo, I step correct.
Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Chad Brendel. In for Mo Egger. You look at me weird when I say Mo's on. Did something change and Mo's not on down the dial tonight?
No, I just wasn't aware.
Okay.
Learning something new every day.
You do. It's my advanced knowledge of the schedule here at the station. Or that I just looked at it to see who was on down the hall tonight and it said Mo. Fun show so far. We're halfway home. Thought we were gonna get an early night, 5:30, with Florida State basketball coming up, but that's not gonna be here. That's gonna be somewhere else, right?
Next door, 1360.
Okay. What's here?
John Calipari follows us.
Let's talk about Coach Cal. Wonder what he'll say today. It's some interesting things to say after a loss to Auburn over the weekend. And Big Blue Nation is not real happy with Cal after this one. No?
Cal, you've played a few different looks with the three big guys. And, you know, today, even with the size advantage, you get out-rebounded. They have a ton of offensive rebounds. Is there much value if you don't win the – win that battle inside with the three big guys? And also, just wondering why so few minutes for Dante in the second half?
Well, I don't, you know, at the end of the day, we were running stuff for Dante and he wouldn't shoot the ball. And that's why I took him out the one time. We ran two things for him and he had shots and he wouldn't take them. And I'm like, look, you're in there to make shots. So that was one thing. But Dante wasn't the issue. And let me say this. When you defend how we're defending, you got to figure out now, how do we space this court? How do we play offensively? How do we get them to make easy plays, extra passes, the low turnovers that we had with Florida? And that's who we have to be. This other team, we're not good enough playing this way. A lot of it was, I'm getting mine. Okay, you didn't get yours and we didn't get ours. And so, you know, I'm just telling some guys, like Lance, drive that ball to find somebody. And he finds Dante in the corner, bang. But, you know, again, you know, trying to figure this out, trying to get guys. They went right at a couple guys. There weren't even ball screens. They threw it to their man, and they went on a straight drive. That's why I tried to go zone, and then we had a guy break down in the zone. You can't break down if we're doing this. You went to the wrong place, and they got a three. Why did you do it? My fault. That's where we are with some of this. But you could see I'm frustrated, but we are here. We still have our chances, not giving up on anybody. Try to figure it out. The toughness this team needs to play with. If we don't, like, first half they had 10 or 12 offensive rebounds. What? What? And you look, they were right on you, and they were right on you, and you
okay.
Got from your hand. You didn't block out. You got them taking it from over top of your head. You can't do that. You, as a player, you got to take pride and say, that ain't happening to me. And we should be a better offensive rebounding team. It got rough, and we weren't able to battle back.
That's part one.
Yeah, that was part one. Part two is what I was wanting to get at, where he talks about Brandon Boston. And he was asked why Brandon Boston started the second half, why he was being relied upon as much as he has been, when he frankly hasn't been playing well.
Why did you not start them at the second half and they don't get in until 6 minutes is passed in the half?
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about, Lance too. How about throwing Lance in there? And what you're trying to do is, I want to win every game we coach, but the other side of it is, I'm not trying to take anybody's heart away.
Right there. I want to try to win every game as a coach, but there can be no but. He's not trying to take anybody's heart away. You know what that comes off to a fan base? What that comes off to is, my pampered top five recruit can't get his feelings hurt. You know why? Because if I hurt the feelings of the pampered top five recruit, it impacts my ability to land the next top five recruit. Well, guess what? That is an admittance that you're more interested in being an NBA factory than you are being a great college hoops program. Or at least that's the perception of it, right? That's how fans are going to see it. And you have a section of Kentucky fans that have kind of turned on the one-and-done era of Kentucky basketball. It netted in the championship. It got them a couple Final Fours. But they've tired of not having those guys that they remember forever in Kentucky blue, right? One of them being a kid like Deontay Allen. A Kentucky kid, Pendleton County, grew up dreaming of playing for Kentucky. Now he's getting his shot. He's playing well. and Cal's not playing him heavy minutes. So the water was already bubbling, right? And this is not to say Coach Cal's seat is hot. But what we know, we've been around this area for a long time. What we know is that Kentucky fans take that basketball program very seriously. And if they feel like the coach no longer has his pulse on the fan base, then there's trouble. And you got that sense that they've been feeling this for a while. And it's easy to push away when you're going to Final Fours, when you're making runs in the NCAA tournament. Cal has not been able to do that of late. And they've been losing out on a lot of these top five kids. 2017, 2018, 2019. They didn't have a top five recruit. Brandon Boston in this 2020 class, first one they've had in 5 years. So it's been an interesting dynamic, and it brings you to the point. Even I believe it's John Calipari that said this. You can't stay at a place like Kentucky for more than 10 years. Because things go south. Things go sour. He's in year 11. Things going sour? Certainly seems like it. Ken in Indiana wants to talk Kentucky basketball. Ken, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing delightful. Taryn and I are having a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying about Kentucky basketball and how the fans are sick of it and everything. And I'm just curious what kind of drugs you're taking.
What kind of drugs I'm taking? None right now.
Well, it sure seems like it.
Why is that? Are you saying Kentucky fans haven't taken serious umbrage with the comment about not wanting to hurt Brandon Boston's feelings as to why he started the second half?
Well, first off, Brandon Boston should not be playing, period.
Okay, and Cal's saying he's playing because he doesn't want to hurt the kid's feelings.
Until he starts playing team ball instead of individual ball, then Boston should be the one sitting down, and certainly not Allen.
Okay, so you agree with me. So what kind of drugs are you on, Ken?
the UK fans understand it's all about the kids. It's not about the program. It's about the kids. Coach has preached that for years and years and years. Even when he's had the guys that, you know, potentially he could have tried to hold on to for another year, but he knew it was the best thing for them.
But we're talking wins and losses now. We're not talking decisions, like off-season decisions on when to go for the draft. He has openly said that wins and losses matter, but what matters more is somebody, you know, not hurting somebody else's feelings. If you're not playing, would you agree that playing more Deontay Allen and less Brandon Boston would have made it more likely for them to beat Auburn over the weekend?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But if you watch the game, the fact that the coach had to stand up and direct his players, especially Askew, just about every time they came down the floor, you know, I agree with you on one point. He needs to start thinking more about the game and winning the game than hurting the feelings. But, and then I'll let that butt just go. How's that?
Okay, that's fine. I don't think you were taking what I was saying the way I was saying it originally, Ken. I think we're on a similar page, right?
Somewhat, but certainly when I heard you saying Coach needs to go after...
No, I'm saying I don't think he needs to go. But he said this, Ken. He said 10 years is about the limit at a place like Kentucky. Because, one, the coach starts to burn out, and two, the fan base starts to get tired of the coach because they've been putting up with him for a decade. And they're at year 11. It's just an interesting – those are his words describing the job he's in, seeing where things are at in year 11. You can see some of that separation, I think, happening between the fan base and the coach.
I haven't seen any of it.
Okay, that's fine. Good deal. Good talk, Ken. Appreciate it.
And I bleed blue. Have a good night.
You too. I think he agreed with me more than he realized, Taryn. I'm not saying to fire Cal. I'm not saying to run him out of town. I'm saying I think there's definitely becoming a level of division between portions, a vocal portion of that fan base over things like, yeah, we want to win the game, but, and then talking about hurting a kid's feelings. You play to win the game. More after this. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
You're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo,
welcome back, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Chad Brendel in for Mo Egger. Final segment of the 4 o'clock hour. Interesting stuff from my good friend Mike DeCourcy today. Rashard Higgins had the fumble out of the end zone yesterday. The debate always stirs up every time that...
This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky, Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings... And there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Longnecks. Longnecks Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Longnecks Patio. Longnecks Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Play happens when a guy fumbles right at the goal line, does not cross the plane. The ball goes out of the end zone. It is a touchback, and the other team gets the football. Everybody gets up in arms about how it's the worst rule in sports. So Mike DeCourcy today broke down some of what people claim are the worst rule in sports. Let's look. Drop third strike in Major League Baseball. I agree with Mike here. This is essential that is a live ball. Because if not, then a foul tip that is not caught by the catcher and hits the ground would also be an out. It clearly, catcher drops the third strike, pick it up, throw it to first, complete the out. Essential. Not even a contender is his verdict. Designated hitter in Major League Baseball. I don't know. I don't mind the DH. Do we really, especially in an era when pitchers just can't hit anymore? They're terrible. I don't want to see pitchers hit. I want to see hitters hit. How's that fit, T? So fit good? Look good? All right. Brought Taryn a new Bearcat Journal hat. The trucker hat from the Bearcat Journal collection at 513shirts.com. You can get your own BearcatJournal.com hat there. Defensive pass interference, spot foul in the NFL. I agree with spot foul. Because if a guy beats you and you just grab him, it should be where the foul happened because he was going to beat you deep for a touchdown.
Now, do you agree? I forget which receiver said it, but should the yards be accumulated to that receiver?
I don't know there. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Then you get into does the quarterback also get those yards?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so then. I don't think so then. Targeting in college football. So necessary. But I think there needs to be a level to it. I don't think there needs to be instant, complete automatic ejection for everyone every time it's called. Definitely needs to be a personal foul, 15-yard penalty. I do think there needs to be a distinction for an ejection. I just don't know that everything should be instant automatic ejection. Charging in college basketball. Awful. Awful. And Mike gets into here, this isn't me guarding you and you run me over. You know, duck your shoulder in and plow me over. That's a charge. This is more about I'm trying to get to the rim, and you as a secondary defender, while I'm trying to get to the rim, slide in underneath me, get a charge call, take away a basket, impact the game. Hate the charge call. Especially when a secondary defender is sliding in underneath somebody that is going to score. The object of the game is to put the ball in the basket. A secondary defender grabbing their junk and falling down should not be rewarded. Bad rule. Fumbling through the end zone, touchback in the NFL. Terrible. Terrible. Why does that change possession? If you fumble it out of bounds and you're the last one to touch it, it doesn't go to the other team. It just goes out of bounds. Maybe you move it back to the 20 if you want to penalize them for fumbling out of the end zone. They keep the ball, it goes back to the 20. Or you give it to them at the 1 yard line. Fumbling out of the end zone should not be a touchback, should not be a reward for the other team. Bad rule. Mike's favorite of all time, or least favorite of all time, I guess. Advance the ball timeout in the NBA. He has railed against this. The timeout, advance the ball at the end of the game. You get the ball at half court instead of taking it out under your own basket.
I like that one.
Huh?
I like that one.
He hates it. It is his most hated rule in sports of all time. I don't love it, but I don't hate it, right? I want to see 3-2-1 game-winning shot. Don't you? That's what we all want to see. We want to see the buzzer beater. Now, his take is, in college basketball, there isn't that. You can go the length of the court. Tyus Edney and Bryce Drew and Melvin Levitt to Kenyon Martin, or Kenyon Martin to Melvin Levitt to beat Duke. There are tons of plays in college basketball that show it's not necessary to advance the ball to half court in order to make a great play.
But I believe the NBA they have the option, too, if they want to or not.
Well, of course you want to.
Not all of them.
Why are you going to take it out underneath the opponent's basket and have to go 94 feet instead of advancing it to half court?
As a guy who's seen a buzzer beater one on that type of play where they decided to take the ball from underneath the basket.
They must have been out of the ability. You can only do it so many times.
I've seen LeBron do that. Broke my heart in the playoffs. Game 3 against the Raptors. I've seen.
You know the one I don't like? You know, want to know the one rule in sports that Mike didn't list here that I dislike immensely? Offsides in soccer. So basically, the way soccer works, if you are behind the defense while someone else has the ball, you are offsides. Isn't it the defense's job to react to you and guard you? Why are you penalized for that? That's like banning backdoor cuts in basketball. Oh, no, no. Can't get behind that defender. You don't want somebody to get behind you? Guard them. I think it's stupid. I hate offsides in soccer.
Is icing still a rule in hockey?
They changed it. I don't watch. I know they modified how icing works. I'm sure somebody will call and tell us.
Because I hated that rule.
Yeah, but it's similar to offsides. Similar principles to offsides. I just think it's dumb. If I'm fast enough and or smart enough to get behind you and take advantage of that, you should be penalized, not me. Plus, here's the other thing, Taryn. There's a goalie standing there at the net. Not only do you have generally, like most soccer defenses have four defensive backs protecting the back third of the field. There are five of them back there, if you count those four and the goalie. If you can't stop me from getting open behind you, give me a break. I hate offsides in soccer. I think it's terrible. What's your worst, your least favorite rule in sports? And call me and tell me why offsides in soccer is the right answer. More after this. 513-749-1530. That's where you can call. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
ESPN 1530. The Cincinnati Bengals play here.
O'clock hour. Here we go. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel, sitting in for Mo Egger for the day. Hope everyone is having a good MLK day here in Cincinnati. Big basketball day, MLK day. Yeah, you were watching Knicks Magic when I walked in. Did my guy Gary Clark do much today?
I didn't check his stat line.
Okay. The Knicks look like they're almost fun, maybe fun to watch now. Julius Randle playing well. Emmanuel Quickley looking like the steal of the draft. I know that's got to have Mo Egger excited. I stopped and I saw Mo at his desk during the commercial break. We were discussing worst rules in sports. I think I've got some traction on this whole offsides in soccer thing. Why can't you guard me? Why is it a foul on me because you decide not to guard me? That's not how it works. Shouldn't be how it works, at least. You know what's crazy, though? The more you think about that, there really aren't a lot of bad rules in sports. Now, there are officials that may improperly administer said rules, but you don't see a lot of bad rules. Like, three of the six on Mike's list, I don't think I have an issue with at all. I don't have an issue with pass interference being a spot foul. I don't have an issue with the DH. I want it to be uniform for both leagues, but I don't want to see pitchers hit. They're not good at it. Stop making them do it. So I don't mind that. I don't mind dropping the third strike. I think there needs to be an alteration in college basketball that a secondary defender cannot slide over and take a charge. You want to take a charge, you better be the primary defender. I don't have a problem with the primary defender taking a charge. I don't like somebody coming from nowhere as you're getting ready to go in the air, grabbing his junk and falling down. That's not defense. You did not do anything to defend that player from scoring a basket. You got in his way. You literally, if you're a secondary defender taking a charge, you literally just got in somebody's way. I think you could legislate that out, right? primary defenders only can take a charge. Secondary defenders, it's a block. You want to be a secondary defender? Come over and play defense. Don't grab your junk and fall down. I get why Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, I get why he hates the advance the ball to half court rule. It just doesn't, I'm non-moved by it either way. I like in college watching teams go the length of the court to get a bucket. I like in the NBA watching coaches draw up a sideline out of bounds play to get a good shot with 2 seconds left on the clock. For the best players in the world to hit, you know, a contested or a tough look, but a reasonable look on a sideline out of bounds play. I don't mind it. Fumbling out of the end zone, they got to fix that. They have to fix that. I don't know how they haven't fixed that. I don't know why the defense is rewarded there unlike they are with any other fumble. Every other fumble out of bounds stays with the offense. But just because it's in the end zone, it's a turnover? Shouldn't the defense have to earn that turnover by recovering the fumble? What advantage is the offense gaining? I guess here's how I'm trying to figure this out in my brain. Help me out if you have the answer. 513-749-1530. What advantage is the offense gaining by fumbling in the field of play and having the ball go out of the end zone to the point that they should be penalized with a turnover when the ball going out of bounds any other time does not give the ball to the defense? Why would the offense need to be penalized in such an extreme way for that? What advantage is the offense trying to gain there? That doesn't make sense to me. But I still say offsides in soccer is my least favorite. You got any others? Any other rules in sports that you don't like, Taryn? Carrying?
Not a rule, but it just hit me, and I want to know why is this the way it is? Why haven't Major League Baseball players, once they go out, they can't come back in? Why do they make that rule?
I guess it would be strategy more than anything. That's fair. That's a decent one. Like in football, you can sub in and out. Basketball, you can sub in and out. Why in baseball can't you sub without having that guy basically eliminated from play the rest of the way? Because that's just the way it's always been. So it's baseball. That's how baseball works, right? The way it's always been is the way it's always going to be.
But wouldn't that also be like you need some type of strategy?
Yeah. Like
Trevor Bauer, for example, he starts the game, you don't pitch.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Long Neck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late, come often.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
For 2-3 innings, then you finally bring him back for the ninth inning or something like that.
You pitch him six, you sit him the seventh and eighth, and then bring him back as your closer in the ninth?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that. Or, you know, if you're pinch hitting, why does that guy have to stay in? Why can't you put the other? I mean, you can do it in Little League, right? I believe you can. You can. I believe you can put the guy back in that you took out in Little League. So there are levels of baseball where that rule exists. I like that. I like that point. Why is there no re-entry in baseball when most other soccer doesn't, though? Soccer, once you're out, you're out.
Same thing there. I mean, I don't watch much soccer, but same thing there.
Yeah, soccer's a wild one. You can only have 3 subs in soccer. You got 11 guys on the field. You are only allowed 3 subs for the entire game.
So, for example, if they go to penalty kicks, the guy, like, once you sub out, you can't penalty kick.
That I don't think so. But that's one of those where the rules might be different based on, like, the league you're playing in. Because that would definitely, like, if it's a close game, of course, you're generally probably not going to take out your best players via substitution. Although you might take out a forward just because they've been doing the majority of the running to get some fresh legs in, and then your forward generally or your striker or your guys that are the best scorers. That's soccer's an interesting one as well on that front. Yeah, just thought it was something interesting to discuss in light of the ball going out of the end zone. And that conversation, like I said, it comes up every time the ball goes out the back of the end zone and it's a turnover and the other team gets it at the 20-yard line. That's the other crazy thing. So you're going to give it to the other team on a fumble out of the end zone. Shouldn't they get it at the 1? Why are you giving it to them at the 20? At minimum, make it like the 5. Or at the spot of the fumble. I just don't get, I don't understand what, because that's what rules are supposed to do, right? They're supposed to penalize trying to get an advantage. What advantage are you gaining by fumbling at the 1-yard line and having the ball go out of the end zone? You weren't trying to do that. You were trying to score a touchdown. On no planet are you purposely fumbling at the 1 and watching the ball go out of the end zone. What are we penalizing? When we come back, why this weekend provided somewhat of a sobering reality for Cincinnati Bengals fans. And how can they fix it? And did we learn this weekend a path forward to fixing it? More after this, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Welcome back, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel, in for Mo Egger. Here for another 40 minutes or so. Mo will be back tomorrow. Or you can hear him tonight, 6 to 9, down the dial on 700 WLW, filling in for Lance. I outfitted Mo and Taryn with new Bearcat Journal hats today, courtesy of 513shirts.com. My guys at 513shirts.com handle all of BCJ's apparel, so go check them out. Look under partners, and then you'll see Bearcat Journal. I've got the fitted stretch fit 3930 New Era lid. That's a founder's deal, but you can cop one on the website. Taryn got the trucker hat. Taryn got to pick the red. Mo got the black. Paul wants to talk rules and bad rules in sports. Paul, what rule you got for me?
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on the baseball thing. I've given it some thought, and I think the biggest difference is that, like, football is a game of specialists. So, you know, you have to substitute because there's not a player that can do everything. Whereas in baseball, we think about the complete player, those are the most valuable players. You know, like Nelson Cruz is one of the best hitters, but not one of the best players.
Paul, don't you tell David Bell there's no such thing as specialists. He has never seen a righty-lefty matchup that he didn't absolutely love, sir.
I know. The more specialized it gets, that's the list, the farther it gets away from what baseball, you know, originally was and why there was not substitutions. And you think about basketball, most of the time a substitution's made because they're tired, and hockey. You know, you want your best five players. You wouldn't substitute for them if you didn't have to, but you have to because they physically can't stay on the court.
No, that's definitely fair. And in football as well, like, you know, you see defensive linemen rotate in and out a lot in football. You'll see at times corners rotate in and out just to get a breather.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get you. I get you.
So if you want, if you want to do, the more you would allow substitutions in baseball, the more specialized it would become. You know, you'd have your runners and your hitters and your fielders. And, you know, every time a guy got on second base, you'd put a fast runner in there for him. And, you know, you could do it that way.
You could. I mean, maybe you could put a limit on how many substitutions. I don't know. I kind of like it the way it is anyway.
Yeah, my limit would be zero. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it, Paul. Thanks.
All right, bye.
And somebody else chimed in, called in, and said, "What the automatic first down on defensive holding during a pass route? I don't mind it because you don't know what would have happened had you not held the guy that was trying to get open.
Just enforce the 5 yards, and if it's not a first down, then it's five.
No,
yards.
I don't mind it being an automatic first down because you don't know what would have happened had the guy been allowed to run his route." Like, look, it should be, there should be more consequence than that for jumping off sides. Or a false start.
Then just eliminate the hole together and just it's all one pass interference.
I don't hate that. I mean, the distinction obviously being holding is when the quarterback still has the ball. How can it be pass interference if a pass hasn't been thrown yet? I guess that would be the technical aspect of that, right? Let's get to, real quick, a very sobering reality from yesterday and Saturday in the two AFC divisional round games. We established this year, Bengals are significantly far behind the Ravens, right? They played the Ravens twice, and the Ravens took them to the woodshed and embarrassed them twice. The Browns were better than the Bengals both times those two teams played. Not as significant a margin as Baltimore was. But we've talked about this before. Before you can worry about the rest of the AFC or even the NFL, you have to figure out a way for this team to be competitive in the AFC North. Well, what did we find out yesterday? The Bills and the Chiefs are ahead of the AFC North. You are looking at such a mountain to climb for this franchise to get back to where it wants to be. But there's hope, Taryn. Here's where I think there's hope. If they're willing to do it. Seven of the eight teams that played over the weekend. We're in the top eight in the NFL in pass protection grade. What does that mean? Take care of your quarterback. Win football games. Pretty simple. The formula's right there. You know, the only team I believe that wasn't in the top eight was Baltimore. And I think they were 14th. They were still in the top half. But seven, and I think Arizona, the Cardinals were the team that was, I think they were third or fourth, and they weren't obviously in the divisional round. But they had a pretty good year. Protect your quarterback. Win games. What didn't the Bengals do against the Browns and the Ravens? protect the quarterback. Baltimore looked like that first Baltimore game, you were concerned for Joe Burrow's health on every snap. Every snap was a jailbreak to the quarterback. Is this easier said than done? Yes, absolutely. But the blueprint is there. It is tried and true. Protect your quarterback, especially a good one. I think we all agree Joe Burrow's a pretty good quarterback so far, right? Protect the quarterback, not at an average level. Remember, we had when Burrow got hurt, they were talking about how much better the offensive line had gotten. And if you went and looked at the numbers, they were like 16th over that four-week span. We were celebrating mediocrity. No. No. It's not about mediocre. It's about elite. It's about being the best. And if you want to play in divisional rounds and conference championships and Super Bowls, you have to be the best at things. You have to be among the best at things. One of them, protecting your quarterback. And the Bengals have not been good at all. That's the sobering reality when looking at how much ground they have to make up. Get to some Reds after this. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Dumped me for a minute. Chad Brendel, filling in for Mo Egger here on Cincinnati Sports Station, ESPN 1530. Half hour to go. And get to a little Reds. A little bit of a busy day in Reds land yesterday as rumors swirled about Luis Castillo and the Yankees. Finally, those rumors got shot down. Nick Kroll saying that, you know, we anticipate Castillo's going to be here with us for this season. Then reports later came out that the Yankees and Reds had talked. The Yankees wanted Castillo. The Reds wanted Gleyber Torres, who is the shortstop for the Yankees. Young, talented, very good player. The Yankees didn't want to commit that much to getting Castillo, so the trade didn't happen. Listen, I know at times I have been a little frustrated with this message that has come out over the past 6 weeks or so for the Reds. That they're listening to everything. Everybody's on the table. Open to trading everyone. Because I think for your fan base, that's just it's a really agitating and annoying place to be when every 3, 4, 5 days, you have to hear about one of your starters being on the trade table, being on the block. When the reality is, or at least the reality is as it looks to be right now, that they're probably going to hold pat. They're looking to add a shortstop. But they feel like they have a chance to compete in this division, possibly win this division, a division where everyone is either standing pat or going backwards. You could very easily argue that the Reds are going backwards and that they lost the Cy Young Award winner. They lost their closer, although I think everybody felt like it was kind of time to move on from Raisel Iglesias. You lost a back end of the bullpen arm in Archie Bradley, but I mean, you had him for, what, a month? I mean, okay. But you're in a – it's interesting because going – you know, when I do a Monday show, I like to start gathering thoughts Saturday evening to start building the outline for the show. And Saturday evening, my thought process was – the Reds are failing to read the room because they're not being proactive in adding players, which right now nobody really is. I mean, what? the Padres are proactive in adding players. The Yankees and Mets are trying to make some moves.
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.
But most everybody is kind of holding firm right now until we get a little closer to spring training. The Reds really, I mean, yeah, you'd maybe like to add a starter. You'd maybe like to add an arm to the pen. But really, you're looking for a shortstop. You're pretty specific in what your needs are as we're what, about a month? If training camp starts on time, it usually starts middle to end of February when pitchers and catchers report. But then you have Kroll come out and say, look, we listened. Of course we're going to listen. If the Yankees call on Luis Castillo, we will listen to what they have to say. And then if they want one of the best young players in our organization, we want one of the best young Major League ready players in their organization. And we want one that's going to fill the need that we have. And that's what it felt like when I said they were failing to read the room, because the things that were going said unchecked. Everybody just, every 3 days, like I said, a new Red starter was Sonny Gray's on the block. Castillo's on the block. Moustakas is on the block. Castellanos is on the block. Suarez is on the block. Taren's on the block. Can't trade Taren. Come on. You know you can't trade Taren. But there was no management of that narrative. It was allowed to just kind of run wild and leave people wondering, leave the fans of this team wondering, are we really going to have to sit through this thing being torn apart again? After finally getting somewhat back on board, 4 years of being terrible, a year of adding guys like Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer. I almost called him Jack Bauer. But you add those guys, and then you go into last year. And last year was a roller coaster. And some of it was, it felt like you were going down uphill a lot more than you were going down. But they made the playoffs. And it finally felt like, okay, take a breath. We climbed the mountain. We did the deed. We're ready to go and be competitive in this National League Central. A National League Central that's coming back to the pack, because you know what? We had similar questions 2 years ago when we talked about how are the Reds going to get back over this mountain that includes the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Brewers, Pirates, and not so much. But you get the point. You were in a division with three teams that were rolling along pretty good. How are you going to get back over that hump? Okay, now you're right there with all three of them. If not, maybe better. And the word was everybody was on the block. You've got to know what that does to a fan base. Especially one that's been waiting since 2014 for you to matter again. And then as soon as you matter, the message that's out there, whether it was right or wrong at the time, was that you were going to be sellers. But now it seems like we're stabilizing, right? Watch, tomorrow there's going to be a big trade. Sonny Gray is going to be gone or something. I'm going to look like an idiot here. But it looks like the message has stabilized. It looks like this team understands we have a chance to win with what we have already in-house. We need to add a shortstop. Can always add, find a bullpen arm, something along those lines. But ultimately, you have good pitching. You should have a pretty solid bullpen. I think Amir Garrett will be very good in that closer's role. It will be interesting to see TJ Antone or Michael Lorenzen, who ends up as the fifth starter. But you think you should get a pretty good year from Wade Miley. I think you're at the point where you're confident that as long as Derek Johnson is running the pitching staff, your pitching staff's going to be in good shape. I still think the offense is going to have issues at times, right? What we saw last year isn't just going to fix itself. I don't ever expect Joey Votto back to being the Joey Votto we know and love. But there should be enough to, at worst, contend in this division long term in 2021. And if something pops up and you can go add an elite shortstop, an elite young shortstop, it's going to cost you something. So I understand that part of the Reds are listening to everybody that calls. It's probably not their fault. They're not the ones putting it out there that everybody's on the trade block, I wouldn't think. Doesn't seem like a smart thing to leak out to the media. But maybe do a better job at managing it. Maybe do a better job leaking out to your media people. Hey, these guys aren't on the block. We're not actively trying to trade them. Someone wants to call us and inquire. We're going to give them a price, right? You run a business. Somebody calls about one of your assets and wants to acquire that asset, you give them a price. But that's not shopping people. That's listening, taking calls. That doesn't mean you're open to trading everyone on the roster. It means if somebody wants to do something stupid, you let them do something stupid. Hopefully this is them doing a better job controlling the narrative. Because I thought for 6 weeks there they did a pretty poor job. You can't let your fan base believe all of your good players are on the trading block. It's not good. It's not good for the fan base. It's not good for the city. It's not good for your momentum building towards a season. That, you know, the belief is that everybody could be gone at any moment. Doesn't promote a positive off-season atmosphere, Taryn. All right, one more segment to go. More when we come back. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
My new favorite commercial, by the way.
That one? Tag team back again. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. We are coming down the home stretch. Mo Egger back in tomorrow. You can also catch him tonight 6 to 9 down the dial at 700 WLW with Sports Talk. I mentioned this with Justin Williams. We talked with Justin at 3:30 about Luke Fickell, apparently, according to reports, targeting Mike Tressel for the defensive coordinator vacancy left open by Marcus Freeman when Marcus Freeman took the Notre Dame job, easy for you to say, a week and a half ago. Tressel comes from Michigan State. He was here at Cincinnati with Mark D'Antonio. He has been with Mark D'Antonio through his stop at Cincinnati, an entire tenure at Michigan State, stuck around on the new staff at Michigan State. And now is apparently headed towards Cincinnati, back to Cincinnati to be the defensive coordinator. Good. One, because I want this to be someone with considerable experience. I know there are some reservations about things that were said by Mike Tressel on the way out the door. when he left with Mark D'Antonio the first time. Guess what? Luke Fickell wasn't here at that point in time. Luke Fickell was at Ohio State. It was 15 years ago. 15 years ago. This team is built to win now. Right now. When you consider who's returning, Desmond Ridder, Myjai Sanders, Kobe Bryant, Joel DeBlanco, Darian Beavers, Curtis Brooks, Marcus Brown. I mean, up and down, Kobe Bryant. Did I say Kobe Bryant? I don't think I did. Up and down the roster, there's talent. Jordan Jones, wide receiver. Josh Wiley, Leonard Taylor. Like, you have talent everywhere. And a lot of it, this is going to be their last year at the University of Cincinnati. So when I say go all in for 2021, I think people, they take that the wrong way and think it means that things are going to fall apart going forward. No, of course not. As long as Luke Fickell's still here, this train keeps rolling. But this train is at the juncture. And it's loaded with talent. You don't know what 2022 is going to look like. But you know right now there's a real good chance you know what 2021 is going to look like for this team on the field. A chance to be every bit as good, if not better, than a team that just finished number 8 in the country. So if you have to hire a defensive coordinator, you know what you do? You go find somebody you're comfortable with that has experience, that knows what they're doing, and you bring them in. And you say, run the show. I think if given his druthers, Luke Fickell would have probably tapped Chris Ash for that job. Best case scenario. Chris Ash is now the defensive backs coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He went with Urban Meyer. 47 years old, he wanted a shot in the NFL. Sometimes you don't get your number one guy. Sometimes they have other things that they want to do. What they consider a better offer on the table. So you have to go to your secondary guy. You go to your secondary guy, and one of his mentors is one of your mentors. One of your mentors is his uncle. The ties are deep. They worked together at Ohio State when Tressel was first getting started as a graduate assistant. So two guys that have known each other a long, long time. So I know, as a part of being a fan is being a fanatic. I understand being in your feelings based on what Mike Tressel said on the way out of town 15 years ago. I get it. However, Luke Fickell has built up enough equity that if he thinks Mike Tressel is the guy to come in and take over this defense and keep this thing moving at the rate that we saw it moving, then who are we to doubt him? Because here's the other thing. You know Luke Fickell knows that this is a chance to put all the chips on the table and really do something special. How often do you get a fourth-year starter at quarterback in college football? You know the last one at UC? Gino Gadulli. Gino Gadulli. It's a long time ago. He played when Mike Tressel was here as a coach under Mark D'Antonio for a year. That's how long ago that was. 15, 16 years. 17 years, whatever it is. Put the chips on the table and go win big in 2021. If the answer to that, one of the ways to do that is bringing in Mike Tressel to help Luke Fickell run the defense, because make no mistake, Luke Fickell will have a heavy hand in how this defense looks in 2021 with so much on the line. Relax. Trust the guy that you have trusted since he was hired to run the program. And when he does it well, the results have spoken for themselves. Until next time, big thanks to the man, Taren Bland. I'm Chad Brendel. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
So, I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd see.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Long Neck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.